Now, we've been saying that Prince solved Socrates' dilemma. We'll be going back and reviewing a little bit of that next week in case that's fuzzy. How do you break through that cloud of uneducatedness? When I first read those words of Proudhon's, I had trouble with that second sentence. But it being a law of man's nature to conform to rule, that is to discover it by his powers of reflection and reason. Man reasons upon the commands of his chiefs, unquote. Because I didn't have Prince and Paul, I had nothing to replace power with. I didn't understand the theory of it, our enslavement, that power hides in us, that us is the battleground to be retaken. And as Audre Lorde says, we must do battle where we are standing. Profound insight, generally posed shallow. What do you think is the pinnacle of all knowingness? Setting aside God or the infinite, to aspire to which, to this all knowingness of the infinite we've been arguing, requires consciously embracing one's gift of reflection from the infinite. And I should have phrased that as discovering the truth. In listening to the archival shows, I realize that could be confusing. So discovering the truth, we've been arguing, requires consciously embracing one's gift of reflection from the infinite, which is also listening without conditions. That is, being willing to take in what one is given. That is, to hearken, i.e., that is, requires faith. To be told that we must have faith provokes the question, faith in what? The answer of Paul's teachings, in essence, is faith in freedom. Freedom to listen, freedom to choose to be righteous, to associate with our sisters and brothers without coercion, to accept only love's judgment, discovered and internalized without conditions. But no one ever explained this to me or defined freedom authentically as freedom to do these things free from persecution, as freedom to be judged only by love, as freedom from necessity. It's obvious upon reflection that a claim to this way of being is anti-state. No one can honestly call themselves a follower of Christ and not say to power, you have no claim on this temple. I mean, that's just obvious from Jesus's and Paul's teachings. The need to discover truth is our nature, but the state cannot exist if we discover it. Anti-state is necessarily, therefore, pro-truth. Paul is not speaking with us about religion any more than was Heraclitus, who lived between the 6th and 5th centuries BC. Cited here, I will be citing, to illustrate that our common source in the infinite provokes in us the need to discover it, the truth, our unity in love. How to achieve it as the material basis for our lives is now the question before us. Quoting Popper's The Open Society, Volume 1, Popper both interpreting Heraclitus and quoting him. Every process in the world, and especially fire itself, develops according to a definite law, its measure. But Heraclitus's notion of a motive law differs from our modern conception of natural law insofar as it is the decree of reason, enforced by punishment, just as is the law imposed by the state, says Popper. All events proceed with the necessity of fate, says Heraclitus. The sun will not outstep the measure of his path, or else the goddesses of fate, the handmaids of justice, will know how to find him. And I have to tell you, I'm real interested in this carrot stick approach of the infinite. I want to think more about it. Continuing, but the sun does not obey, but the sun does not only obey the law, the fire. But the sun does not only obey the law, the fire in the shape of the sun, and as we shall see, of Zeus's thunderbolt, watches over the law and gives judgment according to it. Quote, the sun is the keeper and guardian of the periods, limiting and judging and heralding and manifesting the changes and seasons which bring forth all things. This cosmic order, which is the same for all things, has not been created, neither by gods nor by men. It always was and is and will be an ever-living fire, flaring up according to measure and dying down according to measure. In its advance, the fire will seize, judge, and execute everything. Combined with, and that's I'm quoting Heraclitus, Popper now speaking, combined with a historicist idea of a relentless destiny, we frequently find in Heraclitus, says Popper, an element of mysticism. Along with this scorn of scientists goes the mystical theory of an intuitive understanding. Heraclitus's theory of reason takes as its starting point the fact that if we are awake, we live in a common world. We can communicate, control, and check one another. And herein lies the assurance that we're not victims of illusion. But this theory is given a second, a symbolic, a mystical meaning. It is the theory of a mystical intuition which is given to the chosen, to those who are awake, who have the power to see, hear, and speak. Quoting Heraclitus, one must not act and talk as if asleep. Those who are awake have one common world. Those who are asleep turn to their private world. They are incapable both of listening and of talking. Even if they do hear, they are like the deaf. The saying applies to them, they are present, yet they are not present. One thing alone is wisdom, to understand the thought which steers everything through everything. Unquote. The world, says Popper, whose experience is common to those who are awake, is the mystical unity, the oneness of all things, which can be apprehended only by reason. One must follow what is common to all, says Heraclitus. Reason is common to all. All becomes one, and one becomes all. The one, which alone is wisdom, wishes and does not wish to be called by the name of Zeus. It is the thunderbolt which steers all things. Unquote.